You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with James Millman, Craig Forsyth and Rory Delaghi in the studio. We have top class Saturday to look forward to as well. It's Tingle Creek Day at Sandown. We've also got racing over the national fences at Aintree, Welsh Grand National Trial at Chepstow, racing over the obstacles at Wetherby as well in the afternoon. And we've got Wolverhampton in the evening. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark.
Good, good man. What a Saturday to look forward to that is, Mick.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, even sort of the undercard, if you like, at Chepstow has got a really, some really good, interesting action.
Yeah.
So a tremendous Saturday for jumping fans.
Yes, yeah, it is. And high five will apply to all of that as well.
Absolutely.
All of the races with six or more runners. So you might even get a few bonuses along the way. Quick look back at the first day of the Tingle Creek meeting as well. Mick, just want to get your thoughts quickly on the 2:25 at Sandown on the Friday, because a couple of nice horses in there. Mazzedo Di Zerbo, the winner, Baliandi in second. Obviously got great potential over the hurdles.
Yeah, I think Mazzedo Di Zerbo was ridden for speed by Daryl Jacob, and Baliandi, Sam Twiston Davis, obviously trying to commit him from home. He jumped better today than he did last time, and he thought that the penalties would kick in, but Mazzedo Di Zerbo ran on really well up the hill at Sandown to win, and it takes him, for me, into the top rank of the, you know, the young staying novices for the coming season. To for a four-year-old with that penalty, Alan King won it with a similar type last year, but without a four-year-old, but without the penalty that Mazzedo Di Zerbo carried. So to give £7 to Baliandi, who remains a maiden over hurdles. Cultivator threw down his challenge, just got left behind up the hill, but still ran well again under the penalty, and the three were well clear of the remainder of the field. But Mazzedo Di Zerbo, a name to keep on the right side of, definitely.
Right, let's move on towards Saturday's action, Mick. We're going to get your trip down memory lane in just a moment or two. We've been doing it all week. We'll get your thoughts on the Tingle Creek as well. Anything else on your mind quickly before we move on to that, Mick?
Not really, just good to see as we speak that my stable's had a couple of winners on the card at Sedgefield today. Suisse had a bit of a patchy November, but second day of December, a couple of winners, albeit Louis Grade, but it does herald better things to come, and hopefully the stable will have a good December.
Yeah, hopefully so. Right, let's take a little walk down memory lane, Mick. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going down memory lane. We're looking at favourite memories in the Tingle Creek. Mm-hmm. I've wheeled my piano in.
Yeah, your playing's improving, Mark, I must say. You've been practising, haven't you?
I have, all week.
I told you to get it tuned a few months ago, didn't I?
Let's talk Tingle Creek memories then, Mick. Favourite for yourself?
Yeah, it goes back to 1988. It was sort of Desert Orchid's signature year, really, wasn't it? Started on a high. I mean, the Tingle Creek was a handicap in those days, Mark, and it carried top weight. It may not have looked, at you, if you just look at it, the bare bones of it, a very strong field, but he did have to carry top weight, and he did have his old adversary Panto Prince back in third. So it was a really good performance from Desert Orchid to do that, then it was onwards and upwards from there, wasn't it, Mark?
Yeah, progressed through the season.
He did. He won the Gold Cup after winning the Gainsborough Chase back at Sandown, and he prior to winning the Gold Cup. And sadly, he didn't end the season unbeaten as he maybe could have done, because he fell in the bowl, didn't he, at Aintree, fortunately unscathed. He and Chowder Party came down at the same fence, if I remember rightly, and that was his season over. It was his signature season, wasn't it? And who can forget that tremendous performance in the Gold Cup itself? But it was some performance to win the Tingle Creek as he did under top weight when, as you say, it was a handicap in, as we say, it was a handicap in those days, and big weight to carry for him.
Yeah, so another good memory to add to the collection this week.
Nobody come up with him yet?
No, so far we've had Moscow Flyer,
right.
Corto Star. It was Viking Flagship for Andrew Mount. And you've just gone for
Great Desi. Yeah, it was just, of course, it was his signature year, really, that sticks in the mind. Him, Panto Prince. Oh, and he also won the race at Ascot, didn't he, where he beat Panto Prince, a bit of Channel Gold Cup, was it, or something like that, in between going back to Sandown before the Gold Cup. I think he won that as well.
He beat Panto Prince by a head that time. So
that's right, they was got closer, Panto Prince, that day. Yeah, great stuff, great memories.
Yeah, great stuff. That's another trip down. Same with me, Mick. Memory lane.
I'll bring my violin in next time, Mark.
That's another edition of Memory Lane, then the Tingle Creek coming up on Saturday. We're going to move on and look ahead to that as the last race we preview, but plenty more to get stuck into before that as well. We've got racing over the Grand National Fences at Aintree, a couple of races that we're going to get stuck into at Sandown, and we'll get mixed thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll do the racing at Aintree first, then we'll move on to Sandown, so we finish in the Tingle Creek. So we start in the 135 at Aintree, Mick, the Beecher Handicap Chase, Grade 3 over the National Fences, over the extended 3 miles, well, it's almost 3 1/4 miles, isn't it, we'll call it that. We've got plenty of them in the lineup here, Mick, 24 of them.
Yeah, quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, and we've got some real old Aintree specialists in here. The Last Samurai heads the weights, 11-7-12, Brian Hughes riding for Kim Bailey, and... he's £10 higher though than finishing second behind Rule of the World in the Grand National. But to be fair to him, he did run well on his reappearance. He's a 5-time winner over fences, only 8. Plenty of chance for more to come. You just worry about the big weight round there, but the good ground will help him, won't it?
Yeah.
Viconte de Noia, he ran a blinder on his first start for Colin Tizard since coming from Ireland for the Pots, and well, it was a revelation, wasn't he, as he stepped up in trip at Cheltenham, and suggests there's plenty more to come from him around this these sort of distances. He's gone up £6 for that, but he's a very sound jumper, and if a touch inexperienced, but if he takes to entry, which I think he will, I think he's going to play a big part in this. The young master's coming back from a long absence, but he incredibly... he's only £2 higher mark for winning the Sandown Gold Cup, formerly the Whitbread, on his final start last season. He's got plenty of form fresh, and with Mr. Aintree on board, Sam Whaley calling, if he takes to the place, he could make them all go, the young master, couldn't he? They're the horses towards the top of the handicap who have caught my eye, but it's one towards the bottom of the handicap I'm going to go for, and it's the old boy Alvarado. He's 11 years of age now, but... he's been fourth in the 2014 and 15 Grand Nationals. He's been very lightly raced since then, but I thought an excellent reappearance 3 weeks ago to put an edge on him for this. And I think he's going to relish this trip. I think we'll see his typical Paul Maloney ride around there, just giving him plenty of chance to warm to the race, but there'll be nothing coming home better than Alvarado. And if he can just stay in touch with them off 10 stone too, he's going to get the selection for me. Alvarado, real entry specialist.
Yeah, you know, be kept out of trouble, don't you? And just plodding around, finishing strongly.
Yeah,
I wonder what he'll be thinking if he gets to the elbow and he's not in fourth.
Yes, exactly. I think he'll be thinking, well, I've got to go around again. Or what? What's going on here? Why is he hitting me?
Yeah, that's Alvarado then for Mick in the 135, the Beecher Chase. Let's move on to the other race over the fences, the Grand National Fences at Aintree, the 315, the Grand Sefton Handicap Chase. Shorter trip for this one, 2 miles and 5 furlongs, field of 17 here, Mick, and once again, quite an open contest.
Absolutely. We've got last year's winner, Benny's Mister, won it off 1.38. He's off 1.45, but he's got an excellent record over these fences. And Venetia was very anxious to get a run into him 3 weeks ago. She was hardly running anything then. She was anxious to get a run into Benny's prior to his bidding for a back-to-back Grand Sefton. And who would rule him out as I say, he won this very well last year. She hasn't really got going yet, but the signs are that they're not far off, and he'll be all the better for that run under his belt. An interesting one is La Vatican, trained by David Pipe. She's only seven, this mare, but she's off a fair mark now, and she was back to form at Market Raisin last time, where she was unlucky not to win, and then she can race off a £2 lower market. She got hampered twice at the second last and the last, and she did jump round entry safely in the Topham earlier on in the year. So she's got experience of the track, comes here in good form and well handicapped. As De Me, trained by Paul Nicholas, Sean Bowen taking the ride. He jumped round safely in the Topham, suggesting he quite took to the place, and he's effective, as we know, off this sort of mark. And the other interesting one is Seafood, who comes here on the back of a confidence boosting win. There are signs in his profile that he's probably best going right-handed, but he's got form this way around. He's very useful at his best, and he's off a very fair mark, and he's in the very capable hands of Dr. Newland, who knows what it's like to win races round entry, doesn't he, with Daryl Jacob in the saddle. Tough one to call. I'd love to see Benny's win it again. I'm going to take a chance on La Vatican, though, for David Pipe and Tom Scudamore.
La Vatican, then, for Mick in the 3:15 at Aintree. Let's head to Sandown, then. Tingle Creek Day there. The 2:25 is the first race we look at on their card. And this is a handicap hurdle, the December handicap hurdle, a listed race of a just short of 2 miles. We've got 10 of them to go to post here, Mick. There's some interesting French recruits.
Yeah,
here.
There are, aren't they? Yeah, it looked like being a really hot, numerically hot race at the entry stage, but it's cut up to 10, but it's still a race full of quality. We've got a 4-year-old heading the weights, and that's Zubair, trained by Paul Nicholas. Nick Schofield taking the ride. He's got a good record going right-handed. He's gone up £2, falling at the last at Wincanton. He wouldn't have beaten the winner, who went on to finish fourth in the Fighting Fifth next time, which is a very solid effort. I know Alan King was a bit disappointed in him, but he travelled very well through the Asda Co. Was the horse I'm talking was the Alan King horse,
Sir Royal,
I should say. He travelled very well in the Fighting Fifth, just got run out of it in the closing stages. But I don't think he's given the form of Zubair any harm at all, and he's going to take some beating. Despite a 4-year-old carrying the big weight of 11 stone 12. Brain Power, trained by Nicky Henderson, Sam Twist and Davis in the saddle. He probably needed his reappearance. It was a rare bad run from him, and he's definitely got a chance of his back to his spring form. Slight concern is that Henderson's usually ready first time up, aren't they? But he ran as though he badly needed it. But if he has done him good, he won't be far away. Another interesting 4-year-old is the French import Inditier. Noah Field has been backed by Dan Skelton. In the deep end a little bit, but making his debut for Dan Skelton. But he's got some useful form in France, and a 4-year-old did win this 12 months ago. Was a good 4-year-old, a little Rockefeller, but a 4-year-old nevertheless. The other one to mention is Wishful Dreaming, a bit lower down the weights. The new mark's now kicked in, and he was beaten fair and square at Cheltenham. Although he ran with credit off 1-2-3, he's now got to race off 1-3-1. Suggesting to me that there'll be a cut one or two in here, a bit too good for him. And I'm going to stay with the top one, Zubair.
Zubair then for Mick in the 2:25 at Sandown, and the big race of the afternoon, the 3 o'clock at Sandown, the Tingle Creek Chase, a grade one over 2 miles. We've got six of them in the lineup here, Mick. It's been a race of will he, won't he, kind of in the decks all week. Underso is there for Willie Mullins, and will go off favourite, I imagine, as well.
He'll go off favourite. He has got form fresh, this horse, but it's worth mentioning, Mark, it might be totally coincidental, but he has fallen twice after a similar break, once at 1-8 and once at 1-4.
Right.
So read into that what you will. I'm not saying that's
too buzzed up.
Could well be. I mean, he was miles clear when he fell one of the days. He was out of sight, wasn't he? But, you know, as you say, it could be a horse who's buzzy fresh.
Yeah. And he's going to have Armad for company throughout as well, probably.
Absolutely. He did chase home Sprinter Sacre at Cheltenham and here before a good winning over hurdles in O'Toy. Disappointed there back a month later, but was probably had enough by then. Yeah, he's probably, well, the figures say he's the one to beat, but the odds are going to be prohibitive. And you mentioned Armada, who's defending an unbeaten record at Sandown. And his mark improved, Mark, from 115 in January 2015 to 157 in February 2016. And he's nudged up another £2 without even actually leaving his box. So he's now 157 horses, Armad. And I think it's a real prospect. And he's he needed the run on his reappearance in 2015, but he did finish second on his actual racecourse debut. So the signs are there that he'll be ready to go for this, won't he?
Yeah.
Grade one, et cetera, et cetera.
I think the impression from Connections is that he might just need it, though.
Did they? Is that the sound they're making?
From Gary Moore was that he might come on for the run a little bit.
Well, another one. Their other one, Sadi Grouchy's bidding to maintain his unbeaten record in four visits to Sandown, isn't he?
Yeah.
Including two wins in this. And got a nice confidence boosting win last time at Ascot, and that should have put him absolutely cherry ripe for this. And he'll be there to pick up the pieces, won't he? Sadi Grouchy doesn't know how to run a bad race. One of them, fantastic. You look through his profile, we sort of just, oh yes, he's this, that, and the other. But just look through the races that he's won over his career. He's just absolutely fantastic horse he's been for the game. The other one, whether you mentioned, is God's Zone. But on Queen Mother form alone, he's got a bit to do with Undersow. So I think he's there to pick up the pieces if anything goes wrong with the principals. If Armad's just undercooked, Undersow with a clear round, it's just got Sadi Grouchy to worry about.
Hmm. Do you take a bit of a chance on Sadi Grouchy then, or do you end up going with Undersow?
It would put me off a little bit, those two falls after the similar break to this. Suggest he might just be a bit fizzy for his own good. And is this a bit of an afterthought? Was he always going to come here? Whereas it's always been Sadi Grouchy's target, hasn't he?
Yep.
Raise the roof if he could win a third Tingle Creek, wouldn't he?
He certainly would.
And yeah. I think I'm going to stay with him.
Okay, Sadi Grouchy then. At the time of recording this, Sadi Grouchy is 100 to 30 in the betting.
And that's a bit of a price as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd happily take a chance on him at that price.
Yeah.
And his beloved Sandown.
Yeah, and you could even go each way if you were so inclined.
If you're Andy
Holding,
kind of, exactly. Kind of fun to, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Mick. Let's just have a little bit of a quick summary then before you go. Just confirm your selections for us.
Yeah, the two big races over the entry fences. Alvarado, no stranger to entries, finished fourth in the 14 and 15 Grand Nationals, and all the better for that excellent reappearance from 3 weeks ago for Fergal O'Brien's having a very good season, isn't he? Paul Maloney doing the steering. In the Grand Sefton over the shorter trip, I like the way that Vatican rallied after being hampered twice in the closing season at Market Race, and she comes here in good nick and did jump round safely in the Topham in the spring. Small but select turnout for the 225 at Sandown, and I'm looking to Zabir to defy top weight. A four-year-old did win this last year with a similar weight, Little Rockefeller, and let's hope that Zabir can follow up here. And don't think that fall at Wincanton has left its mark on him from the reports that are coming out of the yard. So I'm hoping he's going to take that Sandown 225. And a cracker renewal of the Tingle Creek with Undersow representing Willie Mullins, Sadi Grouchy representing Gary Moore. I think they'll slug it out between them. Sadi Grouchy going for his third Tingle Creek and defending a four times unbeaten record at Sandown. It'd be great to see him win it.
Will, I will. Make sure you're near William Hill Racing Radio on the TV.
Absolutely.
On Saturday at 3 o'clock. Super, Mick, thank you very much. Good
My
luck.
My pleasure, Mark. Yeah, looking forward to it on Saturday.
Yeah, should be great. You'll be able to hear it on Racing Radio. 11:50 a.m. is the start time. James Millman, Greg Forsyth and Rory Delaghi, the team in the studio. We have Tingle Creek Day at Sandown, great racing at Aintree, and Chepstone Weatherby aren't bad either. And then in the evening, we've got Wolverhampton as well. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.